Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Ian Bailey from Zwiesel Glass Manufacturers. How are you, Ian?
Very well, thank you.
Go on to flutes, because champagne glasses, because you had a coupe. I had a look at a coupe, and I always thought coupe, old-fashioned, no good, because the wine's go flat in them. I read somewhere, and I'm pretty sure it's true, that the bigger the surface area, the faster the wine goes flat. A flute is a better glass, but I was talking to you yesterday, and you didn't seem to be too worried about that.
Well, first of all, if gas behaves in a liquid in the same way that a liquid behaves in a gas. So if we think of the atmosphere for a while, the sun shines down on the sea, it evaporates water vapor up into the upper atmosphere. There are bits of dust from Iceland at the moment floating around up there. And the water vapor congeals around the dust.
Yep.
And when it gets enough weight, you get a drop of rain.
Yep.
Well, gas in a wine behaves in the same way. So the gas wants to leave the liquid. So the gas looks for a rough surface to congeal around, and when it gets enough gas concentrated, it has the buoyancy to escape.
Yep.
Yeah. So the first classic lesson here is if someone pours you a glass of champagne and you see lots of bubbles on the surface of the glass, you know that glass was dusty.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And what we do with our flutes is we laser etch effervescent points in the base, so that the fizz will tend to just spiral up from one point. Uh-huh. And because it's at the point furthest away from the surface, the gas has to concentrate the most, so it prolongs the fizz as well as improving the presentation. Now, let's switch to the coupe, because it's a completely different kettle of fish to a flute.
Yep.
If you want to appreciate champagne in the sense of its flavour and its taste, you need a flute.
Yeah.
If, however, you want to enjoy champagne for fun, a lot of the fun of champagne is actually that fizz hitting your face and the life of the wine. And the benefits of the coupe bowl, and the reason why historically it was so popular and is actually coming back into popularity now, is that when you pour champagne into that bowl and drink, the fizz hits your face and you get the fun of the fizz. And the other huge benefit is that gas, because so much of it's escaping, because we've got a shallow bowl, is taking alcohol away. So actually you consume less alcohol from drinking champagne that way.
Champagne does hit the bloodstream quite fast. You know, people talk about fizz being the happy drink because it basically gets you tanked quicker. So are you saying you'll survive an evening on champagne far better in a coupe than you would in a flute?
With a coupe, it will take longer to affect you, basically.
Okay. All right. Some people may consider that a negative, but do you see
coupes? The drink aware campaign, well.
Do you see coupes coming back? You said that there's a bit of a trend back to them.
Yeah, we see demand growing.
From the restaurants or from?
From bars and restaurants.
Why though?
I think because everything's cyclical. Everything moves in phases. There was a period when people were very uptight about how to enjoy champagne, and now they're moving back to something about fun.
Yeah.
It's been interrupted slightly recently by the recession, because we've seen a growing demand for smaller champagne bowls, because customers are looking to get six glasses of champagne from a bottle, for example. But the coupe is definitely on the rise, because it's viewed as being more fun.
And does the coupe hold more fizz?
Not necessarily, because we can vary the size of our champagne flute bowls.
Yeah.
The other key thing is a classic champagne flute bowl is actually not the bowl that many people in this country would think it is. So most of the glasses the British deem as champagne flutes are in fact for secs and proseccos and not champagne.
Oh,
champagne bowls are actually far fuller and fatter.
Yep.
Because they tend to be fine wines and they need to breathe just like any other fine wine.
The champagne bowl you've got is, it comes out quite, goes to a point, comes out quite tall, but quite wide at the nose. Is that a champagne glass as opposed to a more narrow, thin one?
Yes. Yeah, the narrow, thin one would be for a Prosecco and a Sect, because they tend to not have very strong aromas.
Yep.
And that helps to focus and concentrate the aroma they have to improve the flavour. But a good champagne will have flavour. It will have body, it will have complexity, and therefore we create a wider bowl to help release that complexity.
Okay. All right. Because we use Sensation flutes, and they're lovely looking glass, gorgeous looking glass. But you're saying that's more of a Prosecco type glass as opposed to the sort of, your ones are quite big at the nose.
Yes.
They're not that real narrow focus.
And you'll also see we do some angular champagne flutes, which will go out and then come back in.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, pour to the widest point of the bowl, and it helps to release and then concentrate aroma and allow the wine to breathe. The other reason, by the way, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever wondered why a white wine bowl is normally smaller than red wine.
Why is that?
That's to do with pour. So because white wines are meant to be served at a cooler temperature than red wines,
yep.
If you have a smaller pour, it's more likely that you'll drink at roughly the correct temperature.
It'll warm up.
With a red wine, it can sit there for a while and it doesn't matter because it
actually
it can
opens
breathe.
Up. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's actually better. There's another type of glass that we haven't mentioned called a rose bowl, which is, to me, it looks very much like a what I would consider a sherry glass, where it's almost like a tulip, but then it widens out at the top again.
Yes. First of all, it's called a rosé because many, many years ago, rosé was always associated with sweetness.
It still is if you drink American rosé.
Yes, but I'm saying the best rosés are in fact dry, and you would never ever put them in a glass called a rosé glass.
Yep.
Any glass that curves out at the rim is going to help to emphasise fruitiness and sweetness.
Emphasise it, or because that...
It will emphasise it because it drops towards the front of the tongue. So the first thing you'll pick up as a your brain will associate with that is all the fruitiness or the sweetness. The problem with that style of rosé glass is that it kills most wines. It kills aroma because the aroma is escaping instead of being concentrated, and therefore it actually reduces the overall complexity of the wine.
Yeah.
It's the reason why rosé glasses are disappearing from many of the glass mixes today.
But I can see why for something like sherry or even ports where there's a lot of alcohol, that gives an opportunity for the alcohol to escape as well. Would that be a fair comment? Because I have seen those weak bowls for sherries. You know, people talk about it being a sherry glass.
No, it's never associated with alcohol, with the sherries and also the grappers. And the grappers really tell you the tale here. Because, for instance, if you think of a grapper, it's a fruit spirit.
Yep.
And the whole point for the curve is to concentrate the fruitiness.
Can you explain what a grappa bowl looks like?
A grappa bowl looks a bit like a thistle head. So it has what the Germans would call a furnace or an oven.
It's got
a round bowl, and then it tapers in,
yep.
And then it splays back out to the rim.
I thought that was a rose bowl, though. That's
the rosé tends to be more like a Bordeaux bowl,
yep.
But with the edge of the rim coming out slightly.
Okay, so it tapers. Okay, so it's like a...
There's less of a taper,
okay.
Basically.
Whereas a grappa, it tapers in quite hard and then flows out.
And then comes back out.
Almost like a martini glass on the way out, is it?
Because, you see, one of the ironies with the spirit is you don't want the alcohol to escape, because that's actually one of the key elements of the spirit.
Okay.
So you actually want to concentrate the alcohol in a way you don't with a wine.
Okay, so what sort of glass would I drink? Should I be drinking with sherries then?
It's always gone because it depends on the type
of
sherry.
You don't like sherry, do you? It's like, no glass, mate.
Well, many sherries would actually be best drunk from a normal Bordeaux glass.
Okay.
And people tend to drink sherry from too small a glass.
I tend to drink I get a bit of Fino sherry every now and then. I've got to like Fino. I tend to drink it out of an ISO glass because it seems to be quite nice and that.
That's a very, very good glass to drink it out of. And in actual fact, the ISO bowl shape, because we do the official port tasting glass, is a very similar bowl to the ISO bowl.
I quite like ISO shapes because they seem quite good for, particularly for whites, maybe because, and Sauvignon Blancs and things like that, they seem quite nice. Whereas once I start getting into bigger, heartier Chardonnays and things like that, I always like a bigger glass. Is that?
If we look at Chardonnays, I presume here you're talking about Chardonnays where perhaps they've been oaked and they're more complex.
Yeah, not necessarily heavy oaked, you know, like even like a Burgundy, where it's had maybe a barrel fermentation or something like that.
Well, as soon as you get complexity, you see, that Chardonnay would actually be better off in a Burgundy-shaped glass, to soften some of the complexity, but also to reveal it all.
Yeah.
And again, this comes down to you only need very few bowl shapes, and as long as you know what the bowl shapes do, most wines you can present very well. With those few bowl shapes.
How many glasses do you think people should have?
Well, the key, if we talk about restaurants and then we'll go to domestic use, most restaurants have a challenge, which is they do not have the storage space to have a huge variety of glasses. The other problem is if you take the extreme nature of a sommelier range with 44 different bowl shapes, who on earth can remember which bowl does what?
Yeah, sure.
Let alone having anywhere to put them. So most restaurants will only go for two shapes of wine.
A white and a red.
White and a red. Then they'll have a water.
Uh-huh.
And they have to work their wines with the glasses that they've got to hand.
Okay, and what would you suggest for home consumption?
For home consumption, you can have a little more variety because you need fewer glasses and hopefully you've got a little more space. But even there, the truth is, if you have limited space, go for a Bordeaux-shaped bowl as your primary bowl. If you've got more space, bring in a Burgundy as well. Between those two glasses, you can do nearly every wine.
And the Bordeaux is a smaller bowl and the Burgundy
smaller, is... taller chimney to the bowl. The Burgundy is the broader bowl, shorter chimney.
Okay, excellent. All right, Ian, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.